Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What happens when people have an especially strong sense of guilt? What happens when they're conscious of a great burden of sin? When sinners see their lost condition and feel the pressing load of sin, and Jesus cometh on his mission to heal the sin-sick heart within, all grief must flee before his grace, and joy divine will take its place. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Before his death, he said to his disciples, "You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." In the Psalms, we read that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And again, in the Psalms, we hear that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It's quite clear from God's holy word that Christians have been promised joy, happiness. But how is it possible? The disciple John, in the last verse of this morning's text, says this: "We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." Now, there is some difference of opinion on the part of biblical scholars as to whether the text should read "our joy" or "your joy." In either case, it's a pretty amazing thing that the writing of words could create joy. As John puts it, joy that is full. What a challenge he has before him as he makes this statement. Is it even possible? Joy? How many are there, and I include Christians in this question, how many are there who look at the state of affairs in which their own lives stand and have joy in regard to what they see? How many look to the future without apprehension, and when they think of what lies ahead, experience only happiness? There are just too many obstacles for that. Whether the problems are financial or marital, professional or personal, whatever the problems may be, for many people, joy does not seem to characterize their outlook on life or their view to the future. How little genuine happiness there seems to be in the world. How little real joy. So many faces seem quite cheerful on the outside, but are hiding hearts which are filled with regrets and apprehensions and fears and doubts. And of course, it's all due to sin, from which you and I are hardly immune. Sickness, doubt, fear, death, catastrophe, war, hatred, sadness. And Christians live in this world of sin, and they themselves are infected with sin. Arguments between spouses, disobedient children, jealousy between friends, lust, slander. Surely some of these things are known to you. In the face of what you see in yourself, how are you to be full of joy? I'll tell you how. They saw him. They heard him. They touched him. The one who was from the beginning, the word of life, they touched him. And everything in your behavior, in your conduct, in your being, which separates you from God, and therefore frightens you and depresses you and in the end would lead to your death is now overcome by life. The life that was made manifest to John and the other apostles. The life they heard and saw and touched. The author of life had himself become one of us, had taken our place under God's law and had kept it for us, had taken our place in punishment and been punished for us, had taken our place in death and had died for us, and had now risen to life again and conquered death for us. And how do we know this? They saw him. They heard him. They touched him. He truly did rise from the dead. They touched him. He truly is the Son of God. They truly themselves would one day rise again to life because his blood truly does wash away all sin. And now John says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you. Why? So that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In this fellowship with the Father and with the risen Christ and with all the saints and angels, your sins are forgiven. Your guilt is taken away. You are adopted through baptism as God's children. You have the promise of your own resurrection from the dead to everlasting life. In this fellowship, you have joy. It is not an ephemeral feeling giving a temporary high. Rather, it is a happy confidence in the reliability of God's promises. It is not a momentary euphoria, here one moment, gone the next. No, your joy is constant, even when you don't feel it, even when you don't sense it. It's constant because it rises out of faith in the Son of God, a faith that is sustained by the Holy Spirit as he points you in his word to the one who gave himself for you, that you might belong to him for all eternity. In this fellowship with the apostles and with Christ, you live a life of joy. Your troubles do not disappear. Your afflictions do not simply go away or be dissolved. There are still tears. There are still great difficulties. But your life is one of joy. And this joy is full because it's been created by God. And nothing created by God is anything but perfect. In this joy, which rises out of faith in the Savior, God brings you through the troubles of life, sustains you in your temptations, comforts you in your sorrows, the sorrows that attend all those who still live this side of the day of judgment. And in this joy that God gives to you, you look forward to that day when you will see with your own eyes, and you will hear with your own ears, and you will touch with your own hands the one who was from the beginning, the Word of life. May our gracious Lord sustain you in this joyful expectation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.